Most of you can tell that we're getting closer and closer to the end of 2 Kings, so sometime this spring we'll start a new book in the Bible. More than likely for the Wednesday night series, it'll be a book in the Old Testament, so you'd be praying for that. Probably sometime during the month of March, we'll begin towards the end of March, we'll begin a new book of the Bible. And looking forward to today, always looking forward to finishing up, and also looking forward to what God leads and plans for next time. So 2 Kings chapter number 20, we've been learning about this King Hezekiah now for a few weeks, and I believe there's some things in the message tonight, and in this final, we'll probably close out Hezekiah's life tonight and look a little bit ahead to his son Manasseh next week. Actually, I guess in a couple weeks after Missions Conference. So the question is, Hezekiah here is getting ready to be told by God, you're getting ready to die, get your affairs in order. And Hezekiah says he turns to the wall and he prays, and God gives him 15 more years. And that's exciting. Think about that. He gave him 15 more years. But here's the question for tonight is, what are you going to do with what time you have left? What are you going to do with what time you have left? And I know there's younger people in the room. I know Brandon's back there, and he's 21, Brandon. And you got Max and Mary Beth that are in their 20s. And then you got some of you that are a little bit older, some that are in the 80s and some that are in the 70s and maybe some in their 60s and 50s and 40s. I'm not sure if we have anybody in their 30s or not. So, but we have some around that's you know, it's, and you say, well, that's kind of a weird way to think about it. Well, in all reality, most of us would say, I wish I had more time. Most of us would say, hey, there's not enough time in a day. There's not enough time in a week. There's not enough time to get everything done I want to get done. I know I feel that way. Sometimes people are kind and we're talking. I see somebody at the end of the day, so did you have a good day? And normally the answer is yes, I had a very good day. I just didn't get enough done. You start the day with a list. You prioritize the things that you need to get done, and then the rest of the stuff you put on the list for the next day. But most of us will say, yes, I would like to have more time. And I guess the question is, what will we do with that time? You know, God gives all of us 24 hours, but if God gave us, say, a little extra time, what will we do with that time? How are we going to use it? Are we really going to use it to further the kingdom? Are we going to use it more to learn the Bible? Are we going to use it more as a witness? Because I think that's the first thing in our mind. God, if you give me an extra hour, I devote that hour to you. But, you know, the first 24 we gave you, we didn't really devote much to them. Here in Hezekiah's been a good king. We saw the recommendations. We saw the testimony about him, who he was and what he had done. And he's saying, Lord, I want a little bit more time. But in the last 15 years, he really didn't do as well as he did the first 14 years. And I'm not picking on Hezekiah, because it's the same thought that would come in my mind. Okay, God, if you give me a little bit more extra time, what are we going to do with what's left? And we've probably all been around people that maybe we think of Mr. Milton Tissick, and Mr. Milton was told, I don't know, probably a year ago, he was only had a little bit more time to live, and God spared him, and he's still here and getting around, and thankful to see him in church. And, you know, for him, you can see that God has, you know, kept him and his wife, even though they've been going through a lot of physical things, they've had a good, sweet spirit about them. But we've also seen there's been times when God has saved someone's life or extended their life a little bit longer. And what do they do with it? I'm going to encourage you tonight, don't waste the time God gives you. Don't waste the time that God gives you. Hezekiah here in this story, he asked for 15 more years. And the question is, would it have been better if he had died at 39 instead of waiting until he was, you know, the 15 years later? That's, he said, Pastor, really? That seems kind of rough, seems kind of tough. Well, towards the end of his life, he made some mistakes that caused some real problems for Israel. And I don't want to say that, hey, he shouldn't have lived the 15 years, because I think God blessed during those years. But at the same time, if God gives you time here on this earth, we should use it for him and for his glory, for his praise. And Hezekiah here, part of that time, he did not. And he set up a trap that was going to cause problems down the line for Israel. He also set up a problem by having a son. At this point in time, there is no heir that's mentioned, and his son ends up being one of the most wicked kings of all time. And then also you see here that in this time that he hurts his testimony a little bit too. So I think what we're going to do tonight, because it's a unique passage of Scripture, it's written in three different areas of the Bible. We're going to look at two of those areas. So we're just going to kind of tell the story as we read along. And then at the end, we're going to ask you a couple questions and look at that. So we're going to kind of tell the story as we read throughout the chapter 20 here in 2 Kings, and also a portion of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, set up a little bit of a timeline. But the thought here is tonight is time is a precious commodity. And yes, we don't ever seem to have enough of it, but we should use the time that God has given us for his glory, for his honor. Hezekiah got the privilege of having a little bit more time. Let's see how he uses it. 2 Kings chapter number 20, in those days was Hezekiah sickened to death. Now, when we talk about developing a timeline, what does it mean in those days? And they're referring to the problem they had. This is actually the 14th year of his reign. And the 14th year's reign, remember, he began to reign when he was 25. So at 39 years old, he has a problem. He becomes sick unto death, it says. Not just sick, he comes sick unto death. And the truth is, we're all going to die someday. Unless the rapture happens and the Lord takes us home, all of us are going to face death. The Bible says that appointed unto man wants to die, but after this, judgment. So in those days, so in that 14th year of his reign, he becomes sick unto death. Anybody else remember what happens in that 14th year? And that 14th year was also the same year that the Assyrian army was coming. If you go and you read the chapter earlier, it says in his 14th year of his reign, that's when Sennacherib wrote that letter. That's when Rabshakeh came and they were threatening and doing all these different things. That's when he gave that inspirational speech to his men, stand on that wall, all those different things like that that we learned about in the last few weeks. All that is happening in the same year. Sometimes we think, man, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad week. He's having a bad year here. So, I mean, this is a hard thing for him to face. And not only is he dealing with his military issues, now he's coming to the point that he's almost sick, to the point he's going to die. And I'll show you, I'll set up a little bit of a timeline in a little while. But here in those days was Hezekiah sickened to death. Remember, this is not just some little bug, this is something that actually he is going to die from. The Bible says, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him. Remember, Isaiah was one that helped him and cried out to God. He was a godly friend that we learned about a few weeks ago. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Isaiah was one of the people he turned to and last week and prayed to God, and God gave him good prophecies toward Hezekiah. And here, Isaiah has a job to do. Isaiah is sent to Hezekiah. But look what he's sent to say. He says, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Boy, I mean, that's pretty blunt. You think about that. I mean, I wouldn't want to be Isaiah. This is my friend Hezekiah. God has just brought a huge victory. I mean, this was a huge military victory. We read in the Bible and we think, wow, yeah, that happens all the time. No, nobody else could stop this nation of Assyria. This was the big dog. This was the one that no one could stop. All those other countries, nobody could stop it. All those other gods, nobody could. But God used Hezekiah, Isaiah, those other men, and the other people that were willing to stand on the wall and willing to pray. God used them to have this great victory. Now Isaiah is having to go to his friend and say, God says you're getting ready to die. Put your affairs in order. How would you respond? And you see the response here in verse number 2. It says, and you listen to this, you think Isaiah sometimes is a tough message to deliver. You don't want to miss this, that, you know, serving the Lord, you should always say, thus saith the Lord, but it's not always easy. It's not always popular. Sometimes things are said, and the reason why they're said is because they need it to be said, and sometimes truth hurts, and sometimes people need to hear the truth, but many times people don't want to respond to it. So Isaiah here gives this message, and it says in verse number 2, then he turned his face to the wall. Who is he referring to? And he's talking about Hezekiah here. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying. So the first thing that comes to my mind is Hezekiah prays to God first. You don't see him trying to call the doctor up. You don't see him trying to talk to the prophet. He has a one-on-one conversation with the Lord. He turns his face to the wall. He wants some privacy. He wants some thought. And he cries out to God. It says he wept sore here. In a second, you're going to see. So he is crying out to God. I want you to see that we can learn from Hezekiah tonight that our first option should be turning to the Lord. Our first thing we should do is turn to God in prayer. So many times people make God the last resort. But for Hezekiah, prayer was the first resort. I like what one preacher said. I found it, if you make prayer your first resort, you usually don't get to the last resort. And I thought that was interesting. If you make prayer your first resort, you usually don't get to the last resort. how much needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'm thankful for men and women of prayer that will turn to God and ask God and seek God's face. Verse number 3, he says, I beseech you. This is the prayer Hezekiah makes. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and with a perfect heart, and had done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, this might sound a little bit prideful to you, but what Hezekiah is doing here is back in the Old Testament, underneath the law, there was many promises that were given about the length of days for those that were righteous. We find it in Deuteronomy. We find it in Proverbs. We find it in a couple books of the Bible that there is given, hey, look, if you live a righteous life, God will bless and you'll have length of years. I don't think he's being prideful here saying, hey, look at me, I've been a good boy. We learned about that last week. It was because of God's mercy. God's mercy. It wasn't because of anything Hezekiah had done. It wasn't anything that because of what Isaiah had done. It was God's mercy. And here he's saying he's asking God about his promise, and he's weeping because he feels like his job is not done. Prayer is kind of mentioned in Isaiah. I believe it's chapter number 38. We're not going to go there tonight for length of time, but he speaks about how he feels like his life is shortened, that he wants to do more. He wants to do more even for the Lord. He desires to keep on living because he's being taken away in his youth. And here he's crying out to God. And here you keep on going. It says in verse number 4, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, meaning he had left the room, he was heading back out, and he's in the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. So not only do you see healing that's going to happen, you also see that he's going to go up and worship. And he says, I will add unto thy days 15 years. He's giving him 15 more years to live. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So not only is he promising him 15 more years, he's also saying, hey, we're going to give you 15 years of peace against Assyria. Those 15 years wouldn't have meant anything if Sennacherib was going to come in at this point in time, or Sennacherib's son at this point in time would come in and capture him and take him back to Assyria. That wouldn't have meant anything. He says, I'm not only going to give you your life, but I'm also going to make it a peaceful life too. And it continues on, and he says, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And he says, I will defend this city, and look for this, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God is saying, I'm going to do this, not because you said you were a good boy. I'm going to do this because of the fact that this is for my sake and also for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So you see a little bit about the disease that happened there. We don't know exactly what type of disease it was. There is a boil that's involved, but that boil that's involved, it's usually painful. And so you see it's not only a death that was sickness unto death, it was a death, a sickness that was very painful. And so there is a recovery there. This is something that is supernatural, and the idea that God gave them exactly what to do and the healing process, God was the one that did this. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Now, so he's asking for a sign. And some of you in your mind says, well, I remember Jesus used to rebuke people that wanted a sign. I bet you he's getting ready to get rebuked here. That's not what happens here. But instead, he is willing to give him a sign. He said, well, what's the difference there? Well, when Jesus was there and Jesus was performing miracles and they had seen all the things that Jesus had done, for them to ask for a sign, for them to prove that he was Messiah, they were rejecting Jesus. They wanted an extra benefit. Here, Hezekiah, and in the Old Testament, sometimes there were signs that were given to help them increase their faith, but also show them that this is God that is working. Remember Gideon. He asked about the different times with the you know, it being dry in one place and watering in one spot, and God does not judge him or chide them with it, but instead God works along with them. And that's what happens here. There's a sign, and it says in verse number 9, and Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing, do the thing that he hath spoken. shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And this degrees is talking about 45 minutes. Should it go forward 45 minutes in the day, or should it fall back 45 minutes? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. So God does something supernatural here, and it happens. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, so we see God here heals them. Now, let's go ahead and take our Bibles now to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We are going to come back to that in a second, but this is trying to set up a little bit of a timeline here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it tells the same story, but a little bit different narrative. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we're going to start in verse 22. 2 Chronicles 22, 32. Okay, and the Bible says, in verse 20 and 21, you'll see that when the God used the angel, destroyed those people. And verse 22, it says, then the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all the nations from thenceforth. Now, so you see what happens here. Remember, Sennacherib is the big guy. His nation is the one that cannot be stopped. Hezekiah's God saves him. And it says they brought gifts unto the Lord. It says, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem in presence of Hezekiah. So there's people from all different types of nations that were coming in. And they were saying, hey, man, Hezekiah did a good job. And there was gifts that were being given. And there was things given to the Lord. So he is getting to be very, very popular. He was the guy that actually stopped Sennacherib. So we know Sennacherib went home, was killed by his sons. So that's what I'm trying to set a timeline here. He gets there. They have the award, and then you have him come back. Everybody's happy with him. It says, magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth in verse 23. He gets something that's great. Now, who deserves the praise here? God does. Who deserves all the glory here? God's the one that does. But let's see what happens in verse 24. And it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. So that's where we're there with our timeline that's here. We see here that Hezekiah has been healed, just like we saw in 2 Kings chapter number 20. Let's keep on going. In verse number 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. So we see here that God saves the people. Many people lift up Hezekiah. He becomes something big and magnificent in the sight of all nations. So God tries to humble him with this sickness. And as God humbles him with the sickness, Hezekiah turns to the wall, begs God for more time. And as God gives him more time, he says, okay, you can have 15 more years. So what are you going to do with those last 15 years? Hey, I got 15 more years to serve God. I got 15 more years to give God glory. But look what it says here in verse number 24. It says, and those as Hezekiah was sick unto death, yes, verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He's saying he did not give God the praise. He did not give God the glory. And he says, for his heart was lifted up. He became prideful about this. He led all the people that was bringing him presents. He led all the people that was bringing gifts, and led all the people that was magnifying him in the sight of all the nations henceforth. Instead of giving God the glory, he lets the pride come in his own heart. And then what's the result of that? Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah in Jerusalem. Now, there's another verse I want you to look at, and hopefully you're getting everything that we're putting into this tonight. But go ahead and take your Bibles. Look at verse 31. We're going to look at verses 26 here in a little while, 27. But verse 31 says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. So what the scripture is saying here, there was a group of ambassadors that came from Babylon. who sent to inquire. Now look at that next phrase, of the wonder that was done in the land. And I think that's amazing. What's being said here is that has something happened in that land that was so wonderful? There was a wonder there. There was something that was supernatural that happened in that land in the defeat of Sennacherib, that people came from all around to come and see what happened in that land. Now let's go back to 2 Kings chapter number 20. We'll see what happens with these people in Babylon. 2 Kings chapter number 20, you'll pick up where we left off. Now, what should happen here? And you think about it. What a great time to praise the Lord. What a great time to glorify God. You have just seen God wipe out a huge army that nobody else could defeat. You have just seen God heal you from a sickness that was almost to death and said that he's going to give you 15 more years. Now, people have come already, and they've come and looked at you and talked to you. And now Babylon is also coming. They're sending ambassadors. And as these ambassadors come, what a great thing that they could take and they could point people to God. Hezekiah could be there. Isaiah could be there. The recorder that was there. We looked at some of those other guys earlier. All those different people could be bringing these heathen people that do not know a one true God, these people who do not know anything about the true and living God, and say, yes, you've come because there is a great wonder that was happening here. Yes, you brought gifts to Hezekiah. You even brought gifts to the Lord. Let me tell you about this Lord. Let me tell you about this God. Let me tell you about all the great things he's done. Let me show you how great and wonderful my God is. But that's not what happens. Instead, his heart, his pride was lifted up in his own heart. And let's see what happens when these men come. And it says in verse number 12, once again, we'll go back. Verse number 12, setting up a timeline here. We've seen here that there's been a win in the battle. People thought he was something special. God made him sick. He was raised up. And now the people from Babylon are coming. It says at that time, and it says, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. So he was sending these letters here. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. So he goes on this tour about how great he is. He goes on this tour about how many wonderful things he has. Now, I don't know if you remember this a few weeks ago. What happens? Remember when he originally tried to make that deal with Sennacherib? Remember he gave everything he had and was even stripping the gold off the pillars to send enough to be able to pay off Sennacherib. Now he has a great amount of things. Where does this come from? Well, remember there was 185,000 men that were killed that night by the angel. There would have been a looting or a spoiling that was there. There also is all these people that are bringing gifts from all these other nations. They come in, and these guys from Babylon come in, and they're looking for the wonder that happened here. They're looking for the thing that was amazing. They're looking for what made Israel different than everybody else. And so what does Hezekiah show them? He shows them all the good things God gave them. He doesn't show them who God is. And this is where the issue and the problem is. He has a wonderful opportunity to praise the Lord, but instead he shows him all these things. And you say, well, how do you know he didn't talk about God? It says, well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we saw that his heart was lifted up. There was pride that was there. So let's see what happens. Verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet, the king of Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men? He's talking about the people in Babylon. These guys are enemies. And from whence came thee unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. So he pretty much bragged, here's all the stuff I got. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days that is that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left save the Lord. And of thy sons thou shalt that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And we think about the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the eunuch thing there. That's what they're talking about there, and the things that are coming from that royal line. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth shall be in my days? And so you see here, Isaiah leads and says, look, what you did was a mistake. Because you did this, someday Babylon is going to come and take away everything that you showed him. And not just everything you showed him, he's going to take away the children, your offspring, your grandchildren, all the people that you're responsible for as a nation. And I don't like the way Hezekiah responds. Hezekiah responds, you know, good is the word of the Lord. But he says, it's not good if peace and truth be in my days. He says, that's okay. Everything's going to be okay because in my days, nothing bad's going to happen. God's already promised that. And you see where his heart is at. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we'll finish up flipping back and forth. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Look in verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So we see here that Hezekiah humbles himself. He sees the pride of his heart. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the heavens. So he sends a humbling there for himself and also. And we see here, and then God continues to bless throughout the years of Hezekiah. And it says, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, what is it that God doesn't know what's in Hezekiah's heart? God does. God left that as an example to show Hezekiah that he had pride in his heart. Now the rest in the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are a witness in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. So let's look at a couple things here, and we'll be done. I read this story, and we hear about Hezekiah, who did so many wonderful things, started a revival amongst the people, tore down all the high places, did more than anybody else did when it came to all the kings of Judah before. Now, he got sick. God had done something miraculous already. God had done all these wonderful things. He gets sick. He cries out to God. God gives him 15 more years. What about the time that's left? I don't know about you, but some of us, I know, have had near-death experiences, and I know some people in this room have. I know that some of you might say, hey, Pastor, you're young. You haven't had. There's a couple of times when there's been a couple of car accidents I think God has just saved us from. I don't know if you remember the time we were driving home from the junior camp. I had seven or eight boys in the back of the van with me, and somehow the tire blew, and it did a complete 360, and we landed on the side of the road safe and without any harm. And then the kids thought it was the coolest thing in the world. They wanted to do it again. But the state trooper that went down the road who passed it, and there was a, you know, the thing in the middle, the medium, he couldn't get across. He said to me, he says, when I came back here a mile down the road, he says, I thought I was going to be cleaning bodies up off the road. That's how bad it looked like it was going to be. And the Lord preserved us that day. And there's been a couple other times when I think the Lord has preserved my life. And I know you can say the same, probably some of you have had the same story of maybe sicknesses that could have taken your life. Or maybe times doctors gave you diagnosis and didn't think you're going to make any longer. And I began thinking as I was studying the story of Hezekiah, you know, how have I used those last 10 or 12 years? How has it been different? And I'm assuming it was when I was the assistant pastor, if I remember correctly. And so it was probably about 11, 12 years ago. And, you know, how have I used those 12 years? Have I used it as a time to show people about Christ? Have I taken the time that God has given me? Because time is a precious commodity. It is a gift from God. What does the Bible say we should do with our time? We need to be faithful with it. We need to be stewards of it. And yes, we might think that we have the rest of our lives ahead of us. And those in the room that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, hey, we got another 20 or 30 years, but that's a lie from the devil. We don't know how long we're going to have in this world. How are we going to use the time that we have left? And I've seen, and I know in my own life, God has given me opportunity after opportunity. Sometimes we do something stupid, and God shows from his grace and from his mercy, he gives us another chance. Sometimes we mess up at a job, and God gives us another job. Do we deserve it? No, but he does it because he's graceful and kind. Sometimes we do something where we should maybe be thrown out of a place, and God in his mercy and his grace allows things. That what are we doing with the time we have left? And you think about it, if we have 70 years, and now I know the rate is more like 78 years now. If you say this is the beginning of your life, and all the way over here is 78 years of your life, this is the end of your life, where are you at in that? You know, if this is the center point here, that's, you know, that 30, that however many years, 39 years that is, you know, I'm over here a little bit, I'm 46, I'm already past the halfway point, I'm on my way down. He said, that sounds kind of morbid. Well, not really. He's telling us to think about what time we have left. Some of you are over 50, you're over here. Some of you are 60, you're over here. Some of you are in your 70s, you're knocking on it. And some of you, you're living past the E mark. You're living past, you're already past that. You know, and who knows how much time we have left. And wherever you're at in it, whether you're a quarter way through or you're halfway through or you're, you know, five-sixths way through or three-quarters way through or you're nearing the end of it, you know what? We have only a limited amount of time left. What are we going to do with that time? And we have just the same opportunity that Hezekiah had. Hezekiah had the opportunity to show people how great his God was. He had a great story. He had a great story. Sennacherib was defeated. People were actually coming to him. Can you imagine that? People coming to your place to see the wonder that happened there. The opportunity. It's sort of like somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, you look like you're a Christian. Man, it's great what God's done in your life. Can you tell me about it? That doesn't happen very often. But that's what the Hezekiah had the opportunity. These guys from Babylon were coming and they were looking for the wonder that happened in that land. So what does he go and do? He shows them all his trophies. He shows them all this great stuff about himself. He lifts himself up so much and so prideful and say, hey, look at me. When he could have said, hey, look at what God's done. God's the one that went in there that night and he knocked out all those 185,000 valiant men. God is the one that's done all these things. And I'm not making short or light of the fact that some of us only in 20 years, we may not be here anymore. I'm not making light of that. That's a serious thing. I'm asking, what are we going to do with these 20 years? Hezekiah had 15 years that was given to him by God. And what does he do? He made a mistake. He didn't show people how great his God was. Show people how good he was. Show people all the great things he had. But when they were coming and looking, he had something great to tell them about. Are we going to give God the glory during our final years? However long it is. Whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years that you have left, 50 years that you have left, 60 years that you have left, I'm not going to say I know. But I do know that there is going to be a final point sometime. And I'm wondering what we're going to do during that time. Have we been trying to impress people with God and how great our God is? Because he is a great God. Or are we going to keep on trying to impress people with us or doing things our own way? Not only the second thing is, are we going to give God his glory in our years? Second thing is, are we going to learn from our mistakes? You read through the story and you see Hezekiah here. You go back and Hezekiah did a lot of great things. But he tried to make that deal with Sennacherib. He heard his testimony there. And then from what I'm reading the story, and different people that are smarter than I, they set different types of timelines. But from what I can read in this story, it seems as if Sennacherib thing happens. And according to 2 Chronicles 32, the pride thing lifts him up. Then he gets sick. The boil thing happens and he gets healed. Then after that, that's when the people from Babylon come. It seems like it all happens in a very quick time period. It all happens together. But he didn't learn from even when he was sick after the people from Babylon came. He didn't learn from his mistakes. It says he was lifted up. Yes, he got it right and he got it things, but you still had to deal with the mistake of the Babylon. You still had to deal with this mistake of stripping off the gold of the pillars. I wonder if we're going to learn from our mistakes. One of the greatest challenges of our life is when God convicts us of our sin, that we turn from our sins and that we decide, I don't want to do that anymore. And then we don't do it the rest of the way. And so often that the sin that we struggle with, we deal with over and over and over. God wants us to have victory, but it seems like we allow that same sin to bother us and follow us and follow us and follow us. And the question is, are we going to learn? And are we going to stop that sin and turn from that sin and ask God for help to give us victory over it so the rest of our days we can bring glory to him? The rest of our days we can lift him up. The rest of our days we can show those who do not know God how great a God he is and what he's done in our lives. Or are we going to continue to try to impress people with us? Are you going to learn? Are you going to learn from your mistakes? And probably like most people in my life, I would say that there are certain things that God has given me victory over, and boy, I give him praise for that. But there are certain things that I still need to work with day by day that sometimes I slip up on. My mouth is one of those things. Growing up, I was quick with it, sarcastic. And many times those thoughts come to my mind that I want to be funny or do other things, and I need to learn to give glory with my mouth instead of being someone that is just always trying to be whatever it is that is not glorifying God with my mouth. And that's something I have to work on. That's something that I have to learn from my mistakes. I've had to say sorry to people. Once again, it might not be offensive. It just wasn't Christ-like. And so many times I've tried to learn from that and ask God to give me victory. Sometimes I still slip and fall, but I want to learn from that. I want the rest of my life to be something where I glorify God. I have been glorifying God, but I want to do it at a greater rate. I want people to be impressed with my God. Hezekiah got lifted up in his pride because some people thought something highly of him. He did nothing to do that. If anything, he was the guy that stripped the gold off the pillars. He just cried out to God. And God saved his nation for his sake and for his name's sake and for his servant David's sake, talking about the covenant that was there and the promises that were made in the Davidic covenant. And praise the Lord for that. But how are you going to use the rest of your years? Now, I don't know how many more years you have left. And I used to think, man, 70 looks really old. Man, if I could make it 70 years, I'd be doing good. But at 46, 70 doesn't look very old at all, you know. 80 or 90, as long as you're healthy, yeah, I'll stay around. But what am I going to do with those years? There are things that God wants us to learn. There are things that God is trying to teach us. And what did he say in that verse earlier at the end of the chapter, in chapter number 32 in 2 Chronicles? He left him there to prove him, to show him what was inside of himself. And when God allows things to happen in our lives where we get a slap across the face and get told to wake up, it's there to teach us to learn something about yourself. There's something you need to change. You're not as great as you think you are. You need God. You need God's blessing. You need God's help. You need God's leadership. You need God's direction. And I'm going to give you this many more years. I don't know, would you like to know if it was going to be 15 more years or not? I think it'd be kind of neat to know the year you're going to die. But some people might think that's kind of weird. To me, I think it'd be nice so I could plan, I could learn how to do all those things, and I have that many more years to serve the Lord. But we don't have that privilege of knowing that. No one knows that. Doctors don't know that. Only God does. But what am I going to do with this rest of his years? Hezekiah, he slipped up. Now, God did bless and use, from what I can tell in 2 Chronicles 32, he got his heart right, and he got the nation's heart right, and it seems like there was still a bunch of good things that happened and a bunch of things that God was blessed. But I think it was the time that Babylon came and showed up, and Isaiah told him, you messed up, now you got to learn. And I think after that, I think those are the years of prosperity that you see because he learned from his mistake. Are you going to learn from your mistake? Let God work in your heart and mind. Don't be resistant to what he's trying to do. Don't be resistant. Don't be prideful. Instead, God, show me whatever it is I need to learn. Lord, teach me whatever it is that you want me to learn. I want to be able to show you The world. You look at all these flags around, and thank you for those people that put those flags up. I like it. They look beautiful. They remind us of what? There is a world out there that do not know God. And it's these nations, and the idea that the nations that surrounded Israel, they came to Hezekiah, and they were looking for the wonder that happened in the land. And Hezekiah showed them his stuff. And what a great opportunity they had. But what a great opportunity we have, too, to tell people about Christ. What are we doing with our opportunity? Are we showing them us, or are we showing them God? Are we showing them our opinions and what we think is important, or are we showing them what God says is important? Tonight, what are you going to do with the years that you have left? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for time of invitation. I pray that God's worked in your heart tonight. I know